Hey guys, and welcome to another Significant Leader webinar. And Mike, it feels good to have South Texas back, huh?
Yeah.
This is my son, Michael. I know most of you guys know him, but if there's somebody on who doesn't know him, we had a Texas freeze last week. It was a whale of a freeze. And you know, it's a really good thing to have good friends, awesome friends, in the midst of adversity, right?
That's so
they
true.
Reached out. They couldn't turn our power back on. They couldn't boil our water for us. But they were some good friends, and a lot of them made us laugh. That's a big deal. I think my favorite thing was a text I got from one of my friends, and it said, 2020, year from hell. 2021, hell freezes over. And anyway, so we appreciate that. Hey, I'm excited about today. We're going to be talking about cultivating creativity in the life of our churches. And we've got Joe Caminetti with us. We're so glad that he's with us. And
hey, guys.
Yeah. Hey, Joe Jr.
Man, it's good to have you. I like that gold tasso hat
you have
on. Black
and gold, right?
Yeah, you're on the right side of the border, you know, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I know I
did this just for you, Pastor Jim.
Yeah,
this is just for you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Michael, you started, I think, in 2009. You went to ORU and you were playing baseball, and then Coach Terry Poole recruited you home to play here, and you started on our staff leading our high school band.
Right. Yes, sir.
And then our worship pastor got hired by a big church out in California, and you were kind of up at 20 years old or whatever you were. You became our worship pastor, and then you went from worship pastor to creative pastor, which is what you do today. And Joe, you've been a creative pastor a long time, huh, with your dad's church?
Yeah, it's going on 10 years now, which is hard to believe, but loving it. I love what I get to do, and I love creative, so I'm excited I get to talk to all these amazing people out there about this subject.
Yeah, well, for a lot of you know Joe, of course, and I just want to encourage you. It's good to have Mark Huff with us, and guys are starting to log on, and we love to hear from you. And one of the best parts to me about these webinars, I watch webinars, I listen to podcasts every week, and this is one where you can get your questions answered. And that's a huge thing, to be able to get your questions answered. But Joe, your dad's been a friend for a long time. Your mom and dad are two of the most courageous people I know. They pastored in Warren, Ohio. I mean, pretty much ran a gym. I never heard his get saved testimony before. You know, isn't that crazy? As long as I knew him. But at our national conference, I heard his get saved testimony this year. And he and Nuzzo both could have been, you know, some bad dudes if God hadn't saved them, you know. But anyway.
No doubt.
Yeah, I always thought, I think it's because your one uncle married one of the Caminettis, whoever they were real close to the leaders
Beermans.
Of an organization, right? So then I assume your dad and all his brothers were like raised in church, and it wasn't like that. God saved them. And I think one of the most courageous decisions I ever heard a pastor make was the one that your dad made whenever he decided to be creative and he decided to change the wineskin of his service. Not everybody was excited about it at the time, because your dad was by far the lead church in that region, doing the church the way that he was doing it. And we probably won't have time to talk about that today, but your dad is just an amazing leader. And he's our regional connector for that part of Ohio. And he and Gene are just such fantastic people. But so you've been doing this for 10 years, huh?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we had a really awesome guy that kind of pioneered the whole creative team. And he ended up moving on to a church in Arkansas. And this is going back almost 15 years ago now. And then we had some different iterations of what, you know, we were just developing it as we went. And my mom even ran our creative team. She deserves like some, you know, jewels on her crown in heaven for that. And finally it got handed to me. So 10 years in, I'm loving it, and definitely can share a lot more from my failures and areas where I've blown it. But I would love to share anything that I can today to help some people.
Yeah. Well, we're going to jump into content in just a couple of minutes here. And I want to give guys a chance to get on. But I just want to say to people, the reason we do this is because it can be so helpful to you and also to your leaders, whether they're paid leaders, whether they're volunteers in your church is the size that you're helping volunteer leaders. And, you know, back when I was doing conferences and traveling the country more, one of the things that was the highlight of every trip to me was I would hang out with pastors afterwards. We would have dinner together. That's where I got to know your dad. And, you know, you get to know the funny sides of people, the passionate sides of people around food when you're just hanging out for a while, right? And when we finished those times, it was always just amazing how common our struggles were, how much sharper we were when we saw the same struggles, but from the perspective of the grace that was on the lives of all these different pastors that God was speaking to and God was using. And so we've designed this so that it's never going to go more than an hour. You can sit, you can have your lunch while you're sitting here and watching this, and it'll just help you with areas where in your heart, I know you're working hard to be sharper. And the way the world is with technology, we may not all be able to come gather at a restaurant in your town, but we can all gather together. You can invite your staff in. Some people are doing that. They're inviting their whole staff in for parts of these webinars. So, you know, we'd love to have you do that. And just to let you know, for people on your staff who can't be a part of it at this time, we do archive it on the website, right, Mike?
Yep, that's right. You can find it on significantchurch.com.
Yeah, it's on significantchurch.com. Yeah. So with that said, let's jump right into it. I've seen your outline, kind of refigured mine based on yours. The first point you're making is one of my strongest points about creativity. So let's go ahead and jump in.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I want to say this before I jump in, that creativity holds such a special place in my heart. Growing up as a pastor's kid, we always, whether we ever said it out loud or not, I think my parents built our church on the belief that church should be enjoyed, not endured, right? And I think the reason so many people don't go to church is because they've been to one, you know? And we all have our stories of people that come to our church and say, wow, I didn't know church could look this way. I didn't know it could be engaging. And my parents did such a great job of laying the foundation of teaching us what it looked like to be a follower of Jesus. But as is usually the case, it was moments where I was in our youth ministry or just in a weekend service or a summer camp. And it was just the creativity and the way that they were saying something maybe I've heard 1,000 times before in a creative new way that started to soften my heart to the gospel. And so, man, it holds such a special place in my heart. And I think that leads really well into point number one, as Michael and I were just talking through some of the things that we've seen as we've walked through this journey of cultivating creativity. Here's the first thing you got to know. Creativity cuts through the noise. Creativity cuts through the noise. And so here's what I know. All of us face the same challenge. Here's what we're trying to do. See if you can relate to this. We are trying to tell an old story in a new way. Now, think about this. We're telling the greatest story ever told, given it's an amazing story, but it is something that many of us have heard thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of times since we were kids.
Yeah.
And so I kind of liken it to like when you go to a restaurant, all of the restaurants are serving the same thing. It's going to be chicken or beef or fish or pork. And so what sets a good restaurant apart is not what they're serving. It's how they're presenting it. Wow. It's how they're serving it up.
Yeah.
It's the creativity. And so when I think about even just when I watch a great show, like one of my favorite shows is MasterChef, and they spend so much time on the plating. Not just that, you know, like it could be a Michelin 3-star restaurant with an amazing meal on that plate. But if it is not plated well, if it's not presented well, then it will not be received well. And I think all of us would do well to apply that same principle to how we approach sharing the message of the gospel and sharing the message of Jesus. And so really what creativity does in a world where we're constantly being bombarded by messaging, there are thousands if not tens of thousands of different messages that we're getting through marketing and the culture around us everywhere we go, how do we cut through the noise with something that sticks? And so I'll give you a great example. For us, as we were going through COVID, just like all of you, I think we were trying to ask ourselves, what is it that the world around us and the church needs most right now? And, you know, we could have done the old, hey, let's just tell them about our church, then they'll hear about Jesus. And there's never any shame in that. But we started asking ourselves the question, like, what is it that people are searching for and what are they feeling right now? And the more we processed this with my team and my parents and really our whole team, creative team included, we started saying, okay, it seems like people are feeling hopeless and they're feeling this immense weight of like will this ever get back to what it was before? And so we decided that the one thing we wanted to communicate to the world, at least in our valley and in our region, was that there is still hope. Yeah. And so we did an entire campaign. We got as many billboards as we can near both of our campuses. And we decided not to like really make Believers Church or our branding or our logo like the big thing on the billboard. We just made this statement, there is still hope. And our website was pretty tiny right beneath there. When you followed that, it would take you to a landing page. And we did a series called There Is Still Hope. And so we had 1 week where we talked about that there's still hope over addiction. And we featured Blaine Bartell's story, which was really incredible. We talked about how when you know hope, you have to show hope. And we did kind of an evangelistic thing to get people excited for the Christmas season. And so it was just cutting through the noise and saying the same thing that maybe we've said a million times before, but in a way that cut through the noise and people, it resonated with them in a way that was unique to that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you said something really important, and that is people are gospel hardened. You know, and what I mean by that is if you guys are musicians, so if you play the guitar a lot, what happens? You get some calluses on the end of your fingers. And so we got to figure out how to break through the calluses. And that's really what creativity does. And one thing I love, Mike, you're going to talk about what we did during that time, but different parts of the country have different spirits to them. Your dad does an amazing job of pastoring within the cultural and political climate that he pastors in. It's far different than the one I pastor in down in South Texas. So to me, I had a lot of people thinking about culture. I had a lot of people thinking about, you know, elections and all that going on. And what was feeding my soul during that time were the words to the prophets during that time in Israel. And even though really they didn't win, they went into captivity, right, during that season. Still, there was so much encouragement coming from the Spirit of God about the difference that bold belief makes whenever we make a decision that we're going to believe boldly in the midst of circumstances. And the devil's up to stuff. We can't always control that, but we can control the outcome in a way in terms of we can let God be sovereign and bring forth the good in his heart.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's really good.
That's good. Yeah, that was a series that we did kind of coming into COVID. It was a series called Bold Belief. And when we talked with Pastor and with our team, we kind of felt that the feeling here was some people, there was a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of just uncertainty that we weren't used to. People didn't really know how to respond. Some people just didn't really trust what was going on. So Pastor kind of said, I want to help people live with a good balance of faith and wisdom, being wise during this time. So let's talk about bold belief. And, you know, one thing that we do that I've learned is, you know, we all have needs. Sometimes we feel those needs. Sometimes they're just needs that maybe we don't even realize we have right now. But this was very much a felt need series. And so we always try to not go too long without covering both of those needs. So this was a felt need series for us. And really 2020, there were a lot of felt needs, I think. There was a lot of motion that people were going through, whether it be, you know, anxiety, depression, doubt, some anger, some probably righteous anger towards injustices, some probably just misguided and maybe not as righteous anger. And so those kind of things really can breed a lot of content and creativity, the emotions that people are feeling and the things people are going through. So that was a series that we used. And, you know, I saw a study that said 90% of our decisions are made from emotion. So, you know, our emotions, the things that we feel, those things are very powerful. And, you know, as creatives, typically we feel those, you know, and we're aware of those kind of things. So Bold Belief kind of was birthed from that. And so, yeah, that was our series going into 2020. And yeah. I think it really helped people. The things that you had to say helped people process the emotions they were feeling, because they weren't necessarily bad. But I think it's important that we as the church, if 90% of decisions are made via through our emotions, it's important that we respond to those and we help people know how to process those and how to, you know, react to those in a biblical and in a healthy way. Yeah. So.
And we live in small counties, so, you know, this creativity thing started kind of in the 2000s, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. And I'll talk about how to inspire your church to be more creative and why we need to inspire churches to be more creative. But Joe, I love what you said earlier when you said the reason people haven't been to church is because they've been here before. But honestly, that's the reason people don't want to get married. That's the reason they're living together. They've seen marriage before with their parents, or some of them have been married before. So how do we cut through that? You know, and I think that's a powerful first point, is that great creativity cuts through what keeps people from connecting with God. But we're in small county, and we know what it's like to go to a conference and you think, okay, I can't afford that. I can't afford that. So what do I do? And I love this next point that you guys have.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and this is definitely, you're going to hear that little, you know, sometimes I think in significant church in this network, you guys can relate to me. We get small man complex, you know. I'm also 5'9", so I'm that short, passionate Italian guy, and we're fighters a little bit. So I love getting inspired by conferences. Don't get me wrong. I love Elevation. I love Hillsong and Bethel. But it is so quick. It is so easy to snip out somebody that just went to a big conference in a big context and tried to take that and cookie cutter what they want to do in small town America. And there are for sure transferable principles, but man, I think this would be really helpful. So here's our next point. Creativity doesn't have to be, and I'm going to just put fill in the blank here and we'll give you a couple. It doesn't have to be expensive. Can I get an amen? Can I give it up in the chat? All the finance people, give me an amen out there. It doesn't have to be expensive. And it is such an easy pitfall, right? Because LED walls are expensive and staging and lighting. And when you go to, you know, Life Church or Elevation or, you know, whatever the conference might be, it is so easy to think, oh, if I had that package, if I had that team, if I had that budget, then I could be creative. But it's so the opposite of that. And so just getting to the point where we recognize, no, I don't have to have any of that to be creative. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about this in a second, but it's oftentimes our limitations that lead us to the greatest creativity. Yeah. Here's the next one. Creativity doesn't have to be the same as everything else. And I'm kind of just hammering home that same point. It doesn't have to be the same as everything else. There are unique creative ideas that God gives us when we start to pray about what he wants to do and what he wants to say right where we are. And I love that. And there have been so many cool and unique things that God has done and birthed out of our church. And I know out of Faith Family and all the churches that are here, not because we're looking at what everyone else is doing, but we're saying, God, what is it that you want to do and you want to say right here, right where we are?
I want to jump on that, Joe, just a minute, because a lot of guys are younger communicators out there. And you've got to find your logos, what I call your logos. Mm-hmm. And what that means is some guys are more emotional, some guys are more logical. But people, there's something that cements people to you as a communicator whenever they're around you. Yeah. And you can't go listen to somebody else's sermon and duplicate it, because the spirit of it isn't going to be cementing then. Mm-hmm. But Paul told Timothy, give yourself to your custom fitted ministry. So I'd encourage pastors, start with what God's speaking to you, and that that he wants to speak to others through you. And then, man, when you bring your creative team in, we'll talk about why they should feel so valuable in a minute. But I don't know who's next, but you guys go ahead.
Yeah, that was good. You know, something else that we talked about, Joe, is it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, creativity doesn't have to be complicated. One of the services that has grown to be one of kind of our favorite services here at Faith Family is our Stories of Thanks service. And really what that is we're just telling the testimonies of people in our church family, you know, what God's been doing in their lives over the last year, over the last season of their life. We also are doing a campaign called a Church for Me campaign here coming up Easter, and we're sharing testimonies. We're going to just interview some people in our church, and we just want people to know that this can be a church for you. And so those are very...
I like the play on words, though. It's a church for me.
Yeah.
It's a church for me, and it's a church for me. Yeah. And we're just going to keep going back and forth. So I kind of like that.
That's good.
But just sharing testimonies, you know, so simple, but powerful and effective. So I think with creativity, it's about asking yourself, what can I do? Where am I at right now? And what can I do? And starting there. And, you know, just seeing how God blesses that and how it grows. But it doesn't have to be complicated.
No. And sometimes, really, the difficulty is what the creatives thrive on. Joe, were you going to talk about that a little bit? Maybe how to help pull your creatives in? Because it honestly, during that whole time, I've connected a lot of lead pastors, and they'd be on the phone saying, man, my kid went to so-and-so, and they came home, and they're talking to me about it. We got to do church different. And man, it's expensive. What do you think? And so, you know, your creatives can do that too. You know, if you marry, if you marry somebody who's a creative, she's going to cost you money. I promise you that. She's going to look in your house and start costing you money. It's going to feel a lot better. She's going to cost you some money. But you want everybody to feel good, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think, do you want me to hit on that point now, or do you want to save that for the end, Pastor Jim? You tell me.
We can save it. You guys just keep going. Just keep helping people like you prepared.
This is beautiful. No, that's so good. Yeah. And well, I think this bleeds real well into the next point we wanted to make. And that's this, that creativity thrives under constraint, which sounds so counterintuitive, right? Creativity thrives under constraint. And it's tempting to think if I had a bigger budget, if I had a bigger team, then we could be more creative. But there's actually science that backs this up. Creativity can actually thrive under constraint. So let me read this to you. This is the psychology of limitations. This is really interesting. I'm sure some of you have heard this. If not, I think this will really open your mind to a great idea here that will help your ministry. Restrictions take away some of the choices available to us. And with that, it can also remove the paralysis of choice that often halts the creative process. And so a lot of times when we're kind of in the ideation phase for maybe a new series or an event or whatever, maybe let's just take Easter, for instance, I can get decision fatigue because there's just so many things out there. And it's the reason why a great artist, there's something actually helpful about having a canvas that has ends to it, that has boundaries around it. They actually prefer it that way because they can leverage those limitations for greater creativity. And so to that point, I just thought this was really fascinating. Ernest Hemingway would definitely be somebody that was one of the most creative authors in history. And this is interesting. I just heard this last week. He bet some friends that he could write an entire story in just 6 words. You want to talk about leveraging your limitations. And of course, it seemed impossible. And so, you know, the question being, how do you introduce characters and explain their relationships and tell something that would be worth hearing and pull you in? But here's what he wrote. This is how he did it in 6 words. For sale, baby shoes never worn. Very interesting. And so, man, just this idea that oftentimes the thing that we pray for God to get rid of, those limitations or the areas where we wish things would be a little bit more robust and plentiful, out of those are usually birthed some of the most incredible things. And so, you know, one idea I was thinking about, and this will not even be in the area of production, but when we were just getting our start here at our Boardman campus, we had this weird little glitch that happened with our green wall, which is where people sign up for baptisms. And so I didn't get any signups that week for baptism. So we didn't set up our baptismal, and it takes a couple hours to set up and fill up. And so we get to the service in the 9 a.m. and this girl shows up for registration. She's a really sweet girl. She had just started coming, kind of newer to God. And we kind of had a decision to make at that point. Either we could say, hey, our limitations have forced us to not be able to baptize her, or we can get creative. And so we just have a really can-do team here. A lot of them are just volunteers. And so we all had this quick powwow, and we decided, hey, we're going to try to make this happen. And it was not even an option to use our baptismal tank. It would have taken too long. And so we had this one guy say, I can run to Tractor Supply, and I'll go get something that we could baptize her in. And so he went and did that. And then we started going through all of the different preparations to change the service order around. There were just a lot of things that were affected, but her family was already coming from Cleveland. And I saw her countenance change when I told her we didn't know she signed up. Yeah. And can I tell you, like, because we decided to have creativity through a constraint and leverage the limitation, today she is like one of our all-stars here. And she has never forgotten that we went the extra mile to do that. And it was just because we've decided, hey, this is a culture of creativity, and we're not going to be limited by our limitations.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't. You know, with the last name Caminiti, there's got to be some Catholic in there somewhere in the back. I'm glad you didn't go to sprinkling, because your immersion people might have given you trouble,
Pastor
right?
Jim. Yeah, that was plan B. I would have sprinkled her if I had to, but I thought let's do immersion if I can help it.
Yeah. Well, Jeff from Grace City said this, and I think it's really good. He said, it doesn't have to be high tech, and that is so true. If you're high tech without being high touch, you might end up dealing with more negative than positive in your congregation. Yeah.
That's
because,
good.
You know, when you spend money, church people want to know what the purpose of that was. So we've always made being high touch our goal more than being high tech our goal. We use all the tech.
That's good.
You know, we use the tech we can afford. We know that tech especially helps us with young people, but being high touch is really important.
Mm-hmm. The tech without the touch is meaningless in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing, Joe, that you mentioned the choir piece you guys did, the blessing that you guys did during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned to me when we were talking, that creativity can be birthed out of crisis, which we saw last year. Do you want to tell a little bit about that? I'd like to share that to our Facebook, too, so people can see
Absolutely.
It. That was pretty cool, yeah.
And I'll give a shout-out to my wife on this one, because this was her all the way. But, yeah, we were obviously in the same boat, you know, really the whole country was. And we were just, you know, thinking, man, we wish we could get some of our worship team from our different campuses to participate in our Easter services. And at that time in Ohio, they had really strict laws about how many people could even be in a room. And so we called ourselves the Quarantine Quintet. I'm usually like third string when it comes to playing in our band. It's like when the replacement of the replacement gets sick, then Joe gets called. And but I had to play for like 3 solid months, and we had an all staff band. So definitely not like not the A team. And what we wanted to do, we were like, Aaron actually said, hey, I had this idea of including our whole team doing a virtual choir. And that's been done a million times since, but we honestly hadn't heard of anything like that. And so we kind of used the limitation. It was a shame that we couldn't all gather in one place, but we were able to leverage that limitation. And even through crisis, this creativity emerged into this really beautiful thing. And at the time, the blessing was just such a song that resonated in such a cool way. And so, we'll definitely, I'll hit you with the link so we can share that with everybody. But it ended up, man, it was the highlight of Easter. And honestly, it was not even for the first month of planning for Easter, it was not even on the radar. And so props to our team, because they kind of pivoted halfway through and said, all right, we're going to go in a different direction. But we're so thankful that we did. And it was all birthed out of our limitations.
That's good. That's good. You know, 2020 crisis, COVID, all of that birthed a lot, I think, for a lot of churches, you know, and it helped us grow in areas. I know for us, like I think about where our specifically online stream, right? For all of us, we started looking probably really heavily at our online stream. Like for us, we're like, okay, if this is how we're going to connect with people, let's really make sure we're doing it the best we can. So we started developing scripts for people moderating. We started making sure that care and connection and prayer and all those things were readily available and easy for people to tap into. And our normal way of doing things got disrupted. And in that, we started looking at things a little bit differently. And, you know, I think that can be a good practice sometimes to jolt creativity. You know, if you find yourself in a rut, I feel like I can't get out of this rut, you know, make yourself do something a little bit different, maybe. Like for me with worship, if I just feel like I'm in a rut, I can make myself, okay, I'm going to approach this a little bit differently. I'm going to do practice a little bit differently tonight, and let's kind of see what comes out of it. Sometimes you'll find that, you know, the way you were doing it was good, and that's okay. Sometimes you'll find, you know, something new arise from that, and that's good too. So it's a win-win, you know, to push yourself sometimes, to put some limitations on yourself. Or sometimes if crisis, kind of like Joe was saying, if it forces you into that position, you can kind of look at 2020 and say, you know, there was some good that came out of that. And, you know, it makes me think of something that Pastor Jim teaches us often. He said, you're going to get what you inspect, not what you expect. So the truth is, you know, with our online stream particularly, I wasn't inspecting it to the level that I needed to be clearly, that I am now, right? But all of a sudden, when we start putting, you know, attention to it, when we start really inspecting it, our moderators are getting better. You know, everything starts coming up to that level, because there's, you know, a level of accountability there. There's a level of attention there. So I think that's a really helpful thing with creatives.
I just tell them to watch Faith Family at BC. I just say, do whatever Faith Family does.
No, man. And truth is, we're learning all the time.
We all watch each other, man. Yeah. Pastors are great thieves, and stealing from one person is plagiarism. Stealing from three is research. Never forget that.
Right. All right. So we're continuing to grow ourselves. But that crisis kind of forced us into a position to start kind of looking at that. And so anyway, I know for me it can sound draining sometimes. How do you inspect everything? And the truth is you can't, right? You can't. But some things that can be helpful, number one is determining what are the things that I need to inspect regularly, what are the things that I need to spot check, right? Yeah, that's one thing that the pastor's taught me is you can't see everything all the time. But have a plan, you know, have something in place where you know what you're regularly looking at, you know what needs to be looked at quarterly. The other thing that's helped us a lot, especially with creatives, we can live in the moment big time. You know, I'm guilty of it too. We can be very intuitive. So checklists are very helpful. You know, for us, putting checklists together help make sure we don't miss things on the front end. And then they help us to be able to inspect things quickly and efficiently on the back end. So, you know, in crisis, some of those things are kind of put to the forefront. And that can be a really good thing because it helps you develop, you know, develop at a greater level. So I would just, you know, encourage you guys, whether it's limitations or whether, you know, maybe you think, man, this person just jumped ship on my team. I don't know what I'm going to do now, or whatever you may face yourself with. Embrace those as opportunities to just approach things differently. Don't let them discourage you and paralyze you, but realize that, kind of like Joe said with the baptism, you know, there can be answers that come out of that. And oftentimes you're going to end up ahead, not behind.
Yeah. Well, I love this outline you guys have put together, because I think about myself as a pastor, and I wish someone had talked to me about some of this, because really we mature saints, right? That's what we do for a living. So what happens if you put a bunch of immature people in a room and you say, create something? You got a bunch of fighting. That's what you're going to have. And if you know that one of the issues is going to be money, and you set the right spirit, say, hey, it doesn't have to be expensive. Hey, high tech, high touch. Hope you're keeping track of some of these things, because some of the things that really sabotage guys whenever they started are in the outlines that you guys are sharing. And this last point is something that we're going to let you ask your questions in just a minute. And I'm going to share for about 6 or 7 minutes some things that will help you if you want to really launch your creativity or speak with your creative people and speak in a way that they understand why this is of value to you as a pastor, what you're trying to do. I'll share that in just a minute. But Joe, talk about this last part, because I love this last part.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, that is so good, guys. I'm learning and taking notes over here as I listen to you. This last point is really important to me, because I think sometimes there's some misbeliefs about it. So most of the time for me, I'm just speaking for me, creativity is a crock pot, not a microwave. Creativity is a crock pot, not a microwave. So we have this unique privilege as creatives. I think this is just one of the coolest things that I get to do in ministries. I get to work with my dad, the pastor, and lead this team that is partnering with him to serve up really this meal every week that people get to eat. And I think the Bible's pretty clear on it. Ultimately, our goal is to serve up the meat of the word, right? When I think in terms of a restaurant, I think, man, meat, it needs to marinate. Like, we want to develop a flavor profile. And a lot of the time, when you watch some of these shows, or if any of you guys have spent any time in kitchens, and you're pretty good around the kitchen, what's the biggest thing that they do before they ever start cooking? They call it prepping, right? I mean, they spend probably 2/3 of the time prepping, and that's why sous chefs are so important. So on some level, I think we're kind of like the sous chefs of the church, and we're prepping things, and we're letting a flavor profile develop and marinate, and it's built over time, right? And so you can tell the difference in a hurry from something that was thought of on Saturday night before a pastor took the stage to something that was developed and marinated over time. And I've preached both of those messages, by the way, and many more of the first kind. And so here's just a couple of tips that we wanted to throw out there along these lines. And Michael or Pastor Jim, feel free to jump in at any point. But one of the things that's really helped me is just having a system for writing ideas down. have a system for writing down your ideas. And for me, this is such a huge discipline, something that I've done since 2011. And this is for message prep, for when I preach or for series that I'm helping develop with my dad. I have a folder and it just says messages/creative ideas. It's in Outlook. And anytime I get any kind of idea, it doesn't even have to be a revolutionary idea or something, a scripture that stands out, I collect it, I email myself, and I drag it into that folder. And I have ideas that go back almost now 10 years. And so when we go to do a series on grace, or we go to do a series on sexuality, like we just came out of, which would be a fun topic for another time. The cool thing is I've already got, you know, maybe when I go to search grace in my folder, I've got 5 or 6 really solid ideas. Not all of them will be ones that I use, but it helps to develop that profile of flavor and that depth of flavor. Here's another one. Write it down when you get it. Sometimes for me, some of my best ideas, I think Michael and I were talking about this, they never come when you're trying to have them. Right. They come when your mind isn't occupied, right? You're in the shower or you're taking a bike ride or just doing something that's unrelated. So have a good system for writing it down. And I just put it this way, write it now, perfect it later. Write it now and perfect it later. And so it doesn't have to be in its perfect form. You're just collecting things. Just have a system that's working for you at all times. How about this? Create margin to be creative. So like, here's a good question for you to process. What part of the day, pastors, creatives, production people, what part of the day or week are you most prone to creativity? And try to make sure that that part of the day is designated for that. Because I don't know about you, but as a leader, I can get nickeled and dimed for a lot of things that are important, but they are not as important as some of the things that I have deemed as a priority. And if I don't set time aside, it'll never happen. So just make sure you have that time set aside. You know, most of our team's great ideas aren't thought of in a moment. We have one idea that sparks another, and then one of us gets inspired 2 days later, and that sends us on a journey. Michael, you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, that's good. You know, Joe, you mentioned sometimes often our greatest ideas don't come when we're really trying to think of them, right? There's actually a study that I don't know how they did this study, but they were able to study why people have some of their greatest ideas in the shower. So, because it's a real thing, right? We've all been there. You're in the shower and you're like, man, that would be a great idea. And what they said is when you're in that state, you're in that relaxed state, and a lot of the executive functions is what they call in your brain are turned off. So that's like organizing, planning, the numbers, all that side of things. You're just showering, right? And so that some of your filters are less active at that time. So thoughts are coming through. You're wandering, you know, or wondering, I guess is the right word. But in that moment, you know, ideas tend to seep through. And so I just started thinking about how that can apply to us. Obviously, we can't have staff showers or anything like that, but what we can do is create opportunities, you know, whether as a pastor or as creatives, where we're not trying to jam too much into that moment, that we're trying to let ideas grow. So whether that's maybe once a month, you know, getting the team and say, hey, this is just a creative idea think meeting. You know, we're not gonna try to figure out, we'll develop it later. But right now we want ideas to flow. Or as a pastor, you know, finding those time in the days where you're really just thinking, I think the same thing applies to prayer, really hearing from the Holy Spirit, sometimes putting your agenda down and just being open to receiving, is very important. So there's actually studies, Joe, that kind of back up what you're saying there.
That's amazing.
Another thought that I think is important to just kind of say is you talked about how ideas marinate and grow with time. And I've found that happen too often on the back end of an idea, you know, in my time in ministry, where it's like you come up with a great idea and it continues to evolve and continues to grow. And all of a sudden we're like a few days from the Sunday and it's like, we can't do everything that we wanted to do. So I think it's worth thinking that if creativity takes time sometimes to develop and to grow, you know, get your team, you know, things ahead of time before you get together so that those ideas, so that there can be some marinating going on, so that you can come in with some of that already to your meeting and you're not left continuing to try to, like, you know, change and evolve the whole way up to the time when you're out of time. So giving enough time on the front end of creativity can be really good. And then there comes a point, Joe, we talked about this, where you have to say, all right, this is what we're doing. You know what I mean? Because because with creatives, inevitably, ideas will continue to develop, continue to grow. And before you know it, you're changing the idea and you don't really have time to. So I think helping a team understand this is where we're at in the phase of this process. Right now, we're going to dream. Okay, now we're gonna figure out how we're going to pull this thing off. At that point, we're not dreaming. And you know what I mean? At that point. So those things are important because they all play a function. And I think it's good to try to keep them from affecting each other too much, I guess, is kind of the point
really
there. So
great.
Anyway.
That's really good. And there are a lot of tools you guys are talking about. And I have one question before I share my stuff that somebody's brought in. And we'll have probably about 5 or 6 minutes on the back end of what I share. So if you have another question, please share. But you guys are talking about tools that we have to use. And tools are like timelining, you know, tools are like checklists. And Pastor, let me just say this. Your role is basically you just do three things in your church. You pray, you feed people, you lead people. And really in that order, because if you're not praying, you're going to find out without Jesus, you can do nothing. If you don't feed people well, you can't lead immature people, right? You got to feed them before you're going to lead them. And so you do that. And when it comes to creativity, you'll run into stuff. Like when I put checklists in, it wasn't popular with everybody around here. But I just walked in and I said, hey, here's the deal. If I get on an airplane and the pilot says to me, you know, checklists are kind of boring to me. I do it every day. And I know there's 70 things I need to look at, one of them being the fuel gauge. I just don't like looking at them because it's boring. And 99% of the time, nothing ever happens to the plane. It just flies fine. So I don't like looking at checklists. I'm saying, get me off this plane, right? And listen, it's the same thing. We've had it happen where you work so hard to have the creative idea. Everybody works so hard to execute it. The time comes, somebody doesn't like a checklist. And they blow it, and it significantly affects what you're trying to pull off. So some of the tools of timelines and checklists and those kind of things, those are what I want you to hear as you're going through this as a lead pastor, because they're vitally important. Joe, I want to ask both of you guys this question. How, from conception to completion, how far do you guys go? From the time that you embrace an idea and say, okay, we're going with this because Easter's just now 5 weekends away. Passion Week's just 4 weekends away. Right. Mother's Day is 10 weekends away. And I know that because of what we're talking about. How long from conception to completion?
Oh, man. You want to take that one first, Michael?
It's up to you. For us, depending on what, but typically we're, at 10 weeks out, we're already trying to get our kind of, all right, what are we doing for Mother's Day? We're already talking about that. So 10 weeks out, we're starting to develop kind of, this is the theme. Within 8 weeks, we're starting to have to start getting, you know, everything going because of marketing. So typically you're going to market 4 to 5 weeks out. So at that point, you're going to have everything kind of done. So it kind of depends on how big the project is, but typically 10 to 12 weeks out, we're starting to look at our typical things like Easter, Mother's Day, those kind of things. And with series, it's going to be about eight weeks out typically. You know, there's always that we don't want to push the senior pastor to the point where it's like, because you're in a series, yeah, sometimes that can be.
They need to get pushed though.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. They need to get pushed a little
There's
bit because it's like, if I have an exercise, my parents' generation didn't exercise.
Right.
Now I'm reading that 150 minutes of cardio a week, 30%, which is intense cardio, the other, which isn't, is going to prolong my life. So I need somebody to push me a little bit. You know?
Yeah, so there's your answer. But yeah, typically, because 8 weeks, if you're talking about your next series, sometimes that's, you're in a 4 week series, so you're thinking pretty far ahead. So we do try to be sensitive to that, but it's very helpful when we can know that because we can start dreaming up ideas. We can start actually having the time to pull them off and stuff like that. I know I was with you guys one time. I think it was not even summer yet, and you were talking about Christmas. So
yes,
talk to me a little bit
so
about
for,
that.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think like just like you guys, if it's Christmas or if it's Easter, you know, I love these events, but I don't love planning them.
Yeah.
That corridor in the year when you have Easter, Mother's Day, and Father's Day within like a 7 week, it is brutal.
It's like
so
Thanksgiving
as much
Christmas
as we
too.
Can do, Oh yeah, and that's right on the heels of holiday. So thank God for like a little summer break in there after. But you know, for us, systems have really helped. So one of the best people we have added to our team is Erica. And Erica is, her title is project manager. So Erica's, she's creative and has a lot of great things to contribute. And she's taking notes during the meetings, but her biggest project, and she's just part-time, is keep us on track. So we use something called Asana, which would be kind of similar to Basecamp. There's all kinds of different, you know, dashboards you can use, but every single thing that we are responsible for gets entered on Asana. And then there is a deadline associated with it. And we work backwards from when that deadline is to have each phase of the project completed. And I would say out of everything we've done to make sure we have creativity flowing, that might be the one that has helped us the most. All right. Because that discipline and those details, they really do make the difference in us having the margin to create and think bigger.
That's good. Yeah, we use Basecamp. I would encourage any pastor, if you're not using a project management software system, website, to look
at it. Doesn't have to be expensive, right? I mean, no. Asana, I think our monthly subscription is under $100 and we're running the whole, all the teams in our church off that. Mm-hmm. We do it with Planning Center. We do it with all kinds of other things. Why not the creative production
it's
side?
Very helpful. Absolutely. Very helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I think it'd be great because I know we have something that talks about an 8-week timeline of when we start marketing, because it would basically says to me as senior pastor is, if you're not 8 weeks out, we can't do it for you. It's kind of like that boundary you guys talked about. And I appreciate the things that you've said. I'm going to take just a minute and I want to talk to pastors about getting this started, because Michael and I are different as father and son. We have things that were the same. We have areas were different. I'm very much an execution guy. You know, if you look at my Clifton Strength Finders, you're going to find in that execution range, I've got real strengths in that range. Michael has real strong creative and interpersonal giftings. And so he's been an artist since he was little. When he was 13, I bought him a nice guitar because I could tell he was going to do something good with it. And he said, Dad, let's learn to write a song together. And after 10 minutes of trying to get me to play the guitar decent enough, I taught him a lesson. You can't put in somebody what God has left out. And I just want to encourage you, there are people in your church at the moment that you say we're going to become creative, they're going to go, yay, because their gift is now going to connect within the life of your church. And it's not comparing your church to another church that you're after, because there are people we can't even come close to doing what they do. But I have creatives within my church that whenever I, as a pastor, decide that creativity matters, everything within them comes alive. And I want you to listen to this scripture from Romans chapter 1. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So we all know it's one thing to say to somebody, I love you. It's another thing to do a lot of things for people that say to them that I love you. And when you do it, when you create it, instead of just verbalizing it, all of a sudden things are at a whole different level. So for me as a pastor, yeah, I was just like with the rest of you guys in the 2000s when you started listening to your staff, listening to your kids. It's going to cost me more. It's going to be more difficult. And that scripture I read is really what caused me to say I'm on board, because there's three things creativity does that you're not going to do it if you don't decide to cultivate creativity. One is it clarifies God's message. Being creative tells people you don't just believe in marriage, but you believe in their potential to have a good marriage, because you created a video or you created a skit that caused the gospel to be incarnated within their world. The second thing it does is it conveys the spirit of your church. If you don't want to be known as something, you don't have to preach a message on racial harmony. You can just flat out do a video. I see it happening all the time. If you're really tuned in and watching TV right now, you see more biracial couples than you've ever seen. And it's because people are conveying the message in a way that's creative and not just with words. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is creativity connects you to people's heart. Mm-hmm. And what I really like to say is that good creativity causes people not just to be conscious of what you think, but it cements them to God's heart if you do it really, really well. And I was going to give you one illustration of how much Jesus bought into creativity. And then if you have another question, we'll take it. And we're committed to being done within the hour. So we'll log off at that point. But there's a story where Jesus was headed to Jerusalem the final time for the Passover. And a lot of us have been to Israel. And we know that the easiest way on foot from the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem, which is about 100 miles south, is you go down by the Jordan River where the land is flat. You walk along the Jordan River and then you cut back up. And that's so much easier than going over all the mountains that are in the middle of Jerusalem. Well, Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, Luke 17:11 says that Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So Jesus decided not to take the easy way. He took the way that was going to cost he and his disciples something. And it's because he wanted to make a point. He wanted to be creative. And the moment that your church sees you do something that costs you something, the message instantly becomes more powerful because it costs you something to present this message. And so I'm sure the disciples were walking up and down the mountains thinking, okay, what matters to Jesus so much that he took us this way this time and not another way? And you guys are Bible students, so I don't have to tell you that there was a village on the Samaritan border. And we all know that Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. And even 12 of Jesus' 12, some of the 12, when they weren't hospitable to Jesus, they said to Jesus, "You want us to call fire down on these guys?" And so I'm sure Jesus heard that and said, "Check, I got to do a series on that right there." And he used that example to not just walk over the mountains, but when he got near Samaria, he walked the border between the religious and the irreligious, between those who get it and those who don't. And you know the story, 9 people that had leprosy came from the Jewish side. 1 came from the Samaritan side. Jesus healed everybody. And listen, that passage is so loaded with messages that we can teach. But I just want to point it out that when I was in this stage before Faith Family became the creative church that I love pastoring like it is today, and before we did all the hard work of developing the systems and identifying the talent, because really it comes down to this, and we all know this, that if you're the leader, you have to recruit the right people. You got to organize what's going on. You've got to coach the people that are doing their parts, and then you got to care for them well. So it's not just going to happen. You're going to have to make a decision to enhance your messages and cause people not just to be conscious of things. Again, Romans 1 says, God created the whole universe to tell us he loved us. And what happens with good creativity is people aren't just conscious of a truth. They're cemented to it. They're inspired by it. And it's so much fun to take the time to do it. And I started reading the New Testament different, and I saw that Jesus did it so often, and it really, really inspired me to do it. So, Mike, any last thoughts?
That's good. Yeah, we did have, firstly, just a lot of action on the chat. I want to give everybody a shout-out, but there's so many. Pastor Mark, Floyd, Pastor Don Duncan, Chad, Pastor Hammonds, Pastor Pat, Pastor Mark Harrell, just all you guys. Thanks for joining. I know that Pat asked a good question. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I thought I'd like to hear you guys answer on this. He said, "What do you feel the felt needs are right now in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, I think we hit on it a little bit. To me, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of angst. And there's just a lot of uncertainty. So I think we've just really focused on, hey, in a time of uncertainty, let's just point to the only thing that is certain, you know, and we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And so that's been a lot of what we keep going back to. How about you guys?
I think that what people feel right now is even so much more important than what you say. So when you take the pulpit, you need to be really prepared to make sure it feels right when you get done. Mm-hmm. And I think there's never been as challenging of time to speak the truth in love. And I think if you speak truth without love, you're going to stir people that could cause your church to be unhealthy. I think that our society has kind of seen the error, at least Christians have seen, well, you know, I know we need to love people, but, you know, how do we share truth? And so I think how people feel when it's over really matters. And I came across a piece of research real quick that's interesting. It's from Mark Knoll, who's a professor at Evangel. And this is the challenge we're in right now. From 1740 to 1770, we had a great awakening. And 75 to 85% of Americans were in church. By 1790, some people say as few as 10% were in church. And one of the things that caused the trouble were, before the Revolutionary War, you had patriots who thought we should fight the British. You had loyalists who thought we should stay loyal to them. And there were about 25% on either side. Then in the middle, there was 50% who just didn't really have a strong opinion. Well, after the war, when people faced the toll of the war, the loyalists and the patriots started fighting each other. And literally, it caused a lot of trouble within the church. So I think we have to teach our people, man, why, who's worth loving? How do we love well in a season like this? And what are the truths? We do need to really, you know, we need to herald these truths because they transform lives.
That's good.
Yeah, don't you guys think too, like, it's not always what people feel they need, it's what we know they need. You know, because like, when if we looked at like what a parent would put on the meal, on the menu, you know, my kids might be asking for ice cream, but I might be serving them broccoli because I know what they need, not what they want. So not every Sunday can be an ice cream Sunday, you know, like sometimes we have to bring them exactly what they need so that we can grow them to be strong in God.
That's good.
So I think that's, and I know Pastor Pat knows that well, but that's the tension, right? We're trying to balance both of those things.
And the people love it when they leave and they can feel that they were just in the presence of God and he told them what they needed to hear.
Right.
And but if you're right. This is a time it's dangerous, I think, just to tell people what they want to hear.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's good.
Even though there are times for that. So
that's good. Awesome. Thanks. Yeah. I'll talk about why real quick, kind of the Easter series before we let people go. Do you want me to mention that?
Yeah, well, we're always going to put things up on the website and we'll let you guys go, like we said, because we want to get done on time. But we're going to have things up on the website. We're going to have series packages that will help you. I know Believers Church is willing to put some of theirs up. We're willing to put some of ours up at Faith Family Church. Man, we're just here to serve you. Yeah. We want to celebrate people, especially people who are laboring in smaller, overlooked cities and towns. And we want to celebrate you. We want you to get resources that you need from relationships that you love hanging out with. So we appreciate you taking this time today. Anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know there's resources out, but if you're praying through Easter, and we did a series called Why a while back, that was an Easter series. It talked about why church, why, it just addressed a lot of the things that people were thinking through. So we're going to make that available. It'll have, you know, artwork bump. It'll have some sermon notes. If you'd like to take a look at that, and like Pastor said, any way that we can help, you know, champion and resource, and we're just so thankful for the opportunity we have to do ministry together. So thankful for what you're doing in your community, and thanks for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Joe, you're awesome, man. Thanks for joining us. You and your family are
had a blast.
Incredible. We love you guys.
Had a blast. Go Browns.
Go Browns. I was going to say last word, but I think that was it, right?
I'm going to blow your cover. He's Brownie Baker Boy. Or what is it? What's your chat name? Brownie Baker Boy.
I think it was Brownie Baker Boy.
In the chat. So if you see him at the next webinar, that's who it is.
Well, hey, guys,
we love you. Love you guys.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Love doing these.